Amen. Isn't it wonderful to pray for one another and love one another? Yeah. Yeah, well, let's believe for every grandchild in here. If you got children or grandchildren. And let me just say this, you could, for some of us parents, you can look back and say, man, I could have done a better job. You can't live in that world. Because the Lord has forgiven us. And the Word of God says, because we're righteous, our kids are righteous. Did you know that? So we because I'm saved, I'm believing that me and my household shall be saved. So it could be for nephews or nieces or sisters or brothers or whoever, or children or grandchildren. But Father, we thank you that their hearts are being softened in Jesus' name. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is doing what we can't even do. Lord, we thank you for divine appointments for those relatives, for those kids, Father God, that you will set up, Father God. We thank you that the hound of heaven will be hot on their tracks during the morning hour. The hound of heaven will be on their tracks during lunchtime. The hound of heaven will be with them during dinner time. The hound of heaven will be with them during the nighttime in their dreams, Lord, that they will not be able to shake, Father God, the love of God. For the Word of God says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man to repentance. So we declare the kindness of the Lord over our children, over our family. Hallelujah. Thank you for the power of prayer, God Jesus. And we do not give up or give in, Father God. We know they're coming in from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And so we declare that, and we thank you, Father God. We thank you for that, God. Our hearts are resolved that, Lord, you who begun a good work in those children is faithful to continue it and complete it, Father God. Lord, I know it's not in our timing always, but yet we know our prayers shall be and are and will be answered. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we'll pray. Amen and amen. And you know what? Some of us are just late bloomers. I was 42 till my eyes were opened. And I remember my grandma praying for me all those years. And I remember one day coming into her house, and because she used to think, man, she used to say, you're, you know, in a nice way, but you're a knucklehead. And I'm praying for you. And I remember her one day saying to me, she said, how did you get so smart? And I said, Grandma, don't you remember all those years you prayed for me? What, you know, in her mind, I'd become smart somehow compared to what I was before. So we don't realize the power of prayer, once again. Or I say, if we realized how much God loves us, amen, how much he loved our children, if we knew how much he loved us and our family members, our prayers would be like this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's a done deal. That it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Lord, we thank you. Maybe say, Lord, thank you. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. The enemy is a defeated foe. The enemy is a defeated foe. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took the keys of death and hell. The Satan is empty-handed. His pockets are empty. All he has is delusions and lies. And so, Father, we thank you for breaking the lies off of our family members. Breaking those lies. We thank you for the truth coming in. You can do it, Lord. We thank you that you're the one that does it and will do it. Amen? Amen. Don't you love praying together? Well, in talking to Lisa Page, I said, right? Lisa Page, I think, we met her, I'm sure, through the Bennetts. The Bennetts have brought all kinds of people to church. And they're awesome. They're little evangelists who don't even realize it. They, you know, they meet people. Next thing you know, they say, come to church with us. And so Lisa Page has a wonderful testimony, and I know she's been one. You can tell somebody says, I want to share my testimony. And so we want Lisa to take some time here. I'm interested. Me and Gina have heard some of her testimony, but we're really eager to hear Lisa just talk about what the Lord's done for her. Aren't you? I'm excited to hear, aren't you? So can we give Lisa a welcome? And you have to hold that close or we won't be able to.
I've been watching them on YouTube lately, so I think I can do it now. Y'all want to hear a story about God?
Yeah.
You want to hear a story about how Jesus chased the one down?
Yes.
Do you want to hear about how Holy Spirit gave her back her life?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let me start off there. I had my first suicide attempt when I was 13 years old. And there's been a few since then. There's been a few since then, I'm not going to lie. I've had a lot of anxiety, depression, the whole mental health oppression. It's been an issue. And then back in 2007, I remember it vividly, although I could not tell you the day, the light went out of my heart. It just went out of my heart. I had just started in shockingly an unhealthy, toxic relationship. And I was not with the Lord at the time. That didn't come for 2 years later. It was a long season of suffering. Long season of suffering. I'm sure you can all imagine. You've all had your pains. You've all been there. You know. I had a complete breakdown in 2015. Everything just spiraled. My relationship broke up. I thought it was horrible. I didn't know. I thought it was horrible. I wanted to die again. Once again, I wanted to die. And I went on a path of self-destruction again. And you notice, I'm still standing here.
Yeah.
I'm still standing here. There wasn't any overdose that happened. There wasn't any mountain road that I crashed on. There wasn't any eating disorder that killed me. And I worked on that really hard for a good year. Trust me, I did. I did. I'm here. Let me get to some good news. Let's get some good news going on. So once I decided, hey, there's this thing called life, and you know what? God's just not letting me escape it. Let me look into this a little further. So I started pursuing him. I know, right? I started praising him, and I started praying to him, and I was intentional about it. It wasn't a work. I was building a relationship, and that is not work. That is what you do in a relationship. I praised. I waited. I wasn't getting a yes, I wasn't getting a no, I was getting a wait. And it was a long, long waiting period. We're talking some years have gone by. It's 2023 now. And here I am, still standing. I'm not even going to talk about the triple bypass I had last year. And I'm still standing. After the suicide attempts. I discovered my identity in God.
Amen.
Woo! That was the first change. I found my identity. And the joy that overcame me, well, I was coming here by then, so you all saw that. Some of you saw that. Yeah, that identity thing, that's a game changer. Game changer. Nothing can shake that. Nothing can shake that. So I want to get back to this praying and praising thing. I bought this 50-inch TV after Christmas because it was on sale. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. But you know what was even better than that? Was the free YouTube subscription that I got. And it's like having a concert in my house. And I've been playing some worship music. I've been playing some gospel music. I've been out there dancing and praising. And I'm right there with Jesus. Do you know what happened? 56 years, I've had nightmares my entire life. I have not had a good night's sleep. My first memory at age 3 is of having a nightmare. I could probably still tell you what it was. 56 years. 2 months now, I have not had one nightmare. Not one nightmare. Not one. Not one. I'm worshiping in the morning. I'm worshiping at noon. I'm worshiping at night. I'm worshiping before I go to bed. And I'm not having nightmares. And that, of course, increases my joy because I'm not tired and fatigued all the time anymore. You know what I'm saying? And then he went and did one more thing. So he brought me back from being lifeless. He gave me joy. That's a lot of love. What else is left? Purpose. Purpose. I have a purpose. When I was doing that praying, when I was doing that praising, I asked God, because, you know, you don't get it unless you ask for it. I asked God, God, I really, really, really need to know what my purpose is. What do you want me to do? What can I do to glorify you? It wasn't just a few days that went by when he spoke loud and clear. He wants me to write again. I've had some practice at that in the past, but in 2007, my heart became lifeless, and I gave that up. God says, I've got some writing to do. I've got a few different things in mind. I don't necessarily want to share them all right now, because I might want to surprise y'all. And I'm still a little in awe and shock over it myself. I have a purpose. And I haven't had a purpose. And I do now. God is moving. God is good. Whether it's yes, whether it's no, whether it's wait. And you all know, most days, you're staring at that mountain. And that mountain's not moving. That mountain does not always move. But he told us this was going to happen. I'm a Hebrews girl. A Hebrews 13:5 girl. You know what got me to come to God? God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he never has. Not since the time of my conception. His hand has graced my life. I look back and I see every moment that his grace was over my life, and I thank God. I thank God. I thank Jesus. I'm blessed. We're all blessed. Thank you, family. You're the reason I come here. You're my family, and I love you all. I love sharing with you, and I love worshiping with you, and I love praying with you. I love being with you, and I want to thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. That is awesome. No, that was great. I was enjoying that very much. You know, I want to be in a church with 100 people like that. I don't want to have people that are just church swapping. You know, but people that come that are have no hope. Because that's what the grace of the God does. Amen. When you come to the end of yourself, come to the end of all your self efforts, come to the end of trying to do everything in your own strength, that's when the grace of God revolutionizes a life. That's when God starts speaking to you about how powerful faith is. You know, faith changes your life. It says the just shall live by faith, and when you grow in your faith, then you're no longer led around by your emotions. Your emotions now have nothing to do with your position in God. Your emotions have nothing to do with who you are in Christ. Your emotions have nothing to do with where God's leading and guiding you. Your emotions have nothing to do with your position. As Lisa was saying, she got her identity. Your identity is firmly established by faith in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. I remember one thing when we visited her in the hospital. Always remember, she said, and I can understand this. Maybe you can too, but it was about work and buying a new pair of shoes. You ever been where it was, huh? I just want to continue a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go off of session 51. Is that okay? And so I want to, tonight, Isaac. So I just want to, read a little bit about the Holy Spirit, about tongues again. But so I want to read from Acts chapter 10. Bill, you don't have it, so if you have your Bible, if you have your device, or you can just listen. This is in the New American Standard in Acts chapter 10. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Remember that in Sunday school? In the letter to the Romans. First one. So this is kind of interesting. This is the first message spoken to, that's recorded in the Bible anyway. The first message recorded of a salvation message to Gentiles. So the Gentiles, remember? You remember Peter, he had this vision, the sheet drops down, he sees these unclean foods in this vision, and he hears God say, kill and eat. He says, no, never. And he hears it again, and he said, no, I won't eat swine, as an example. And so the vision rolled up and it was done, and he was pondering what that meant. And some men came and said, hey, it was a soldier who feared God but didn't know about Jesus, had seen an angel, Cornelius, right? He had seen an angel, and he said, go ask for Peter and Joppa. And so they, while Peter's wondering what this vision's about, these men say, hey, we're here to retrieve you from our boss, so to speak, Cornelius, in Jerusalem. So he travels there, and he gets there, and the first thing, you know, look, he's been preaching to Jews only. Jesus came, the message had been to the Jews, and so when he saw these animals that said kill and eat, and then he goes into a room full of Gentiles, said Cornelius had his family and his friends there. First thing Peter says is, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here in this room with you because you're unclean, according to Jewish law. He said, but I had this vision, so I know it's about, so I'm here. He said, and then told him about this angel and said, hey, go get Peter. So this is the first message to Gentiles in the Bible from Peter. And he says, opening his mouth. Don't you like that? Opening his mouth. Peter said, Acts 10:34. I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, aren't you glad about that? But in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Verse 36, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing that happened throughout Judea, starting with Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. Verse 38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And do you know that the God has anointed you and I with the Holy Spirit and with power? And it says, and how he went about doing good in healing some people. No, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So all that came to him, he healed them and delivered them from the power of Satan. Amen? Oppressed, for God was with him. Verse 39. We are witnesses of all these things, of all things that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he be revealed, not to all the people, but to witnesses who had been chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to testify solemnly that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, all the prophets testify of him, amen, the Old Testament, that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, amen. Aren't you glad you put your trust and faith in him? That message has not changed for 2,000 years. Thank you, Jesus. For all who put their belief in him receive forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, man, the Lord, I mean, God is so powerful. God is so eager to work on our behalf. He's so eager to reveal his goodness to people. I mean, Peter couldn't even get through the message. And this is what happened. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that were listening to the message. Wow. God was saying through the book of Isaiah and through the Old Testament that, and even saying to Abraham that I will make you the father of many nations. Amen. But God could not wait to reveal himself to Gentiles, that he didn't even get to an altar call. He didn't even get to ask them, if those here want to accept Jesus Christ, would you please raise your hand? While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed. Did you hear that? We're amazed. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles. How do they know that? For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter responded, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? So I want to mention how that right there that I'm not here to argue or to try to confuse anybody, but I'm here to say that God still pours out his Holy Spirit upon people. Yes. That people can still speak in tongues. Yes. Now, let me say, I don't force this down people's throat. I was with a dear brother today who has the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you don't speak in tongues, doesn't mean you're not saved. You're saved by faith. And in Romans 8 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to him. So when you're born again, there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But there's also, there's an empowering of the Holy Spirit if you want it and you believe in it. But a lot of times, but that's why I say so much that what you believe is so important. Because what you believe is going to dictate where your life's going to go. If you believe that God just put sickness on you to try to teach you a lesson. But if you believe that he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil. Amen? So I want to say first thing, I want to just say a couple things because people have said things to me. So what my whole point is here is that whatever spiritual gifts you have, that God would reveal them to you and you'd work in them. And that if you want to, if you desire, you can speak in tongues and it can become a powerful tool of encouraging yourself, stirring yourself up in the Holy Spirit. So one thing people will say that tongues are just a sign for unbelievers because in 1 Corinthians, I just want to read this real quick. You give me a couple more minutes. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 through 25. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 through 25 says, brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Be mature. Verse 21, it says, in the law it is written. So Paul's going back to an Old Testament scripture, okay? It says, in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Well, that is referring, by the way, to some Jews. Because we're going to read that in a second. Verse 22, so it says, so then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church gathers together and all the people speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among us. And so what my point is some people are saying, hey, tongues are just for unbelievers. Well, I just read where Peter was preaching to them. He wasn't preaching to them in tongues, was he? But then the Holy Spirit fell, and they all began to speak in tongues. So was there any unbelievers there that were being ministered to by that they're speaking in tongues? No, they were saved by the message, the salvation message. The Holy Spirit fell. They began to glorify God, one of them in tongues. So why does he say about this tongues being a sign for unbelievers? Well, he's quoting a direct scripture. I'm going to read that from and it's from Isaiah 28, 11. Isaiah 28, 11 through 13. Thank you for your time. Because people will say that tongues are just a sign for unbelievers. It says it right there. But then he goes down and says, hey, if unbelievers come in and you're speaking in tongues, they'll think you're mad. So if tongues are for unbelievers, why does he say after that, if unbelievers come in while you're speaking in tongues, They'll say you're mad. Well, I thought then he just said that tongues were a sign for unbelievers. But let's see, what is this talking about? Does that make sense? So this is what it says in Isaiah 28, 11 through 13. It says, if this is God talking to Israel. He's not mixing any words here. They've rejected him and rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. And it says, if you won't listen to me, this is God, then God will use foreigners speaking some strange sounding language to teach you a lesson. He offered rest and comfort to all of you, but you refused to listen to him. That is why the Lord is going to teach you letter by letter, line by line, lesson by lesson. Then you will stumble with every step you take. You will be wounded, trapped, and taken prisoner. So I go back to Acts chapter 2, the first infilling of the Holy Spirit. There were those there that were saying, we hear them glorifying God in our own language. And they came and listened to receive the Lord. There were others who heard that speaking in tongues and rejected it. They said, you're drunk. You're talking foolish. This is insane. So what he's saying here is at that time when the Holy Spirit would come, for some it's going to be life-changing. To others, it's actually going to be a stumbling block, and they're going to actually reject the gospel. They're going to hear that Holy Spirit. They're going to say people speaking in, or being hearing the word of Jesus, the message, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. There'll be those that are going to be drawn, and there are going to be others that are unbelievers, and it's actually going to push them away from the gospel. See, tongues being assigned to the unbeliever, making having to make a decision. This is either God or it's not. Either in that time, either I'm going to receive it or I'm going to reject it. Unfortunately, just like what Isaiah 28:11 says right there, many of the Jews rejected it at that time. There was Jews that came to Christ, but there was many Jews that rejected it. It's going to be a sign to the unbeliever. Man, you make a choice here. You're coming to him or not. It actually, because AD 70, then what, Jerusalem was destroyed, right? And then the Jews were scattered around at that time. Of course, they've come home, right, in Israel. And we know that it says in the book of Romans that the full number of the Gentiles shall come in, and then all of Israel shall be saved. So I want to say that, and I want to one more thing I want to say. So when it says there's, so you don't have any place in that in the book of Acts or any of the New Testament where we have anybody speaking in tongues to get somebody saved. Not once. But we do see people receiving the message of salvation, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then speaking in tongues. A sign to the unbeliever. Assigned to the unbeliever. Or else it would be different what he said. If it's assigned to the unbeliever, why don't we just speak in tongues? And then when the unbeliever comes in, they can receive the Lord, right? Oh, I understand that in my language, or the Holy Spirit minister to my heart. Does that make sense? Is that clear as mud? Now somebody can hear God. You know, there's been people that will hear. They can speak in tongues and they hear God being glorified. But it's always the message of salvation. It's going to be with this intellect giving the message of the gospel. Does that make sense? And then one other thing. Some people say, hey, let me see if you've heard this one. 1 Corinthians 13:8-12. It says, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. So that's where they say that. So what a lot of people that don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit or tongues, they'll say, hey, when that which is perfect comes, then that which is done in part will be done away with. And so what they will believe is the Bible was the perfect that came. Right? Well, we know when Jesus comes, we won't need the gifts anymore. But those that believe the gifts have gone away with are saying that when that which is done in part, when that which is perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Well, here's the problem. When Paul's writing this, he didn't know that any of this was going to be the Bible. He's just writing letters to the church. He had no idea this was going to be something we'd be reading 2,000 years ago, but God did. Jesus did, amen. So what he was saying, when that which is perfect comes, when Jesus comes again, there will be no need for prophecy, amen. We're going to be with him. We're going to see him face to face. But it's because if you continue to read that, it says, when I was a child, in verse 11, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. He says, for now, we see in a mirror dimly. I don't see Jesus face to face. I have the word of God. He continues to reveal himself to me. And then prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, is a revelation, a revealing of something I see dimly. I don't see him clearly. Do you? No, that's why it says the just shall live by faith. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So how do we see him? We see him through the word of God. And we see them through these gifts of the Spirit. And we see them through one another. The truth of the matter is we don't see him. If we don't see it in one of another, then there's no body. There's no oneness. Because it says that we're living stones together, forming a house. Every one of us, amen? A living stone. So when that which is done in part will be done away. When that which is perfect comes, then that which is done in part, he's talking about the gifts. But that which when that which is perfect comes, it's not the Bible. It's Jesus Christ. When he comes again, when I see him face to face, I'm not going to need a prophetic word from one of you anymore. I'm going to be in the presence of the living word. I'm going to be in the presence of the living God. But when we're here now, boy, I need to speak in tongues daily. But now I need the Lord to encourage me in his word and give me revelation. I need your guys' encouragement. I need your guys' strength. You are my family. Amen. It says you'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So when that which is perfect has come, I can't wait for his coming again. Because the word of God says we don't know yet what we're going to be, this body. But we know that when he comes, we're going to be like him. Can you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Thank you for family, church family. Amen. One thing that I remember my pastor that just always, I always say it and it always comes to my mind. There's army aspects of us. But like Pastor Lee used to say, we're not an army, we're a family. You don't call me corporal. You call me brother. Right? I don't call you lieutenant, I call you sister. We have moms and dads in the faith here. We have brothers and sisters in the faith. We're a family of God anointed by the King of Kings. We're joint heirs with Christ. Amen? I've got my adoption papers. Hallelujah. I belong to him. And so, Father, we love you and we praise you and we exalt you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that your love has been shed abroad in our hearts, as the Word of God says. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for continuing to mature us and grow us in you. Father, we do not give up or we don't give in because you never leave us, never forsake us. Amen. Father God, doesn't matter what's going on around me. Your Word already says that greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. Father, your Word already says that do be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So we stand upon that and we thank you and we love you, Father God. We thank you for filling these chairs with people that are desperate for good news. That Father, people that need love, people that are at their last rope, that have no hope, that think there's nothing else I can do. And then Jesus arrives on the scene, that appointed time. We thank you for many appointed times for people, Father God, that need you. The addicted in Jesus' name. Those that are on, Father, those that are contemplating suicide. Father, those that have given up hope, we thank you, Father God, for bringing those in by the droves. Lord, that bring in the least, Father God, and raise them up to confound the wise. And so we declare that, and we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen and amen.